Jesus, you are good. Jesus, you are worthy. His word brings freedom. His word brings life. Thank you, Lord. 2 Chronicles 32, verse 27. Hezekiah had very great riches and honor, and he made himself treasuries for silver, for gold, for precious stones, for spices, for shields, and for all kinds of desirable items. Storehouses for the harvest of grain, wine, and oil, and stalls for all kinds of livestock, and folds for flocks. Moreover, he provided cities for himself and possessions of flocks and herds in abundance, for God had given him very much property. He had it all. He had it all. The same Hezekiah also stopped the water outlet of Upper Gihon and brought the water by tunnel to the west side of the city of David. Hezekiah prospered in all his works. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, people had heard about what God was doing. Why do you think this room is full today? People keep hearing about what God is doing. People keep hearing about what God is doing. People keep inviting people. Come check it out. Come see what the Lord is doing. The Lord doesn't care about the land. He cares about people. You're the land. You're prospering. There's a great fruitfulness in the land. You're the land of God. You're the land. Oh, you didn't get it. You didn't catch that. You are the land of God. It's you. You're prospering. People are coming in here today because they want to see what he's doing. They're seeing it in your life right now. They're seeing something supernatural. They're seeing something different. And they're saying, I got to see what he's doing. However, regarding the ambassadors of the princes of Babylon, whom they sent to him to inquire about the wonder that was done in the land, God withdrew from him. God was with Hezekiah. He withdrew from him in order to test him, that he might know all that was in his heart. When there's a great prospering, when there's a great prospering, there's a temptation to believe it's because of you. It's out of your power. It's out of your might. It's out of your strength. Oh, we're prospering because of me, everything I've done. Look, I've made all the right decisions. I've made all the right choices. I've made all the right investments. I did everything. And the Lord is just testing you in this season. Will you honor me? Will you honor me? Even when you don't feel my presence near, it's a test. And I believe some of you are in a great testing season. He has prospered you. He's advanced you. And he's testing you right now. Who will you give the glory to? Will you take it for yourself or will you give it to the King? Give it to the King Jesus today. Give it to the King Jesus today. Let's pray. Put your hands up to heaven. Put your hands up to heaven and say, Lord, I need you. Say it, church. Say, Lord, I need you. I love you. I give you all the glory. I give you all the honor. Everything that is good comes from you. And I praise you, King Jesus. In your mighty name we pray. Amen. Give somebody a five next to you. Say amen as you sit down. Tell them your name. Tell them you're glad to be here today. Tell them the Lord is good. He's good. Come on. The Lord just wants to know what's in your heart today. When there's a testing, what's he want? He wants to know what's in your heart today. You might have come in here today and been like, I haven't really been feeling him. I don't feel like he's near. I think I'm doing it all on my own. Everything that's good, it's because of me. I'm doing all these great things. Some of you, you're a little discouraged because you know that all good things come from the Lord. And some of you are a little discouraged because you're not feeling him. And you're like, Lord, did I do something wrong? Did I step into disobedience? Did I move out of your presence? Did I move away from you? And I just want to encourage some of you today. I was feeling this coming in here today. And I just want to encourage some of you today, as you check your heart, just begin to check it. Am I in line with the Lord? How do I check my heart? Get in line with the Word. If it's in the Word, you need to get in line with it. Check the Word. Get into it. And so as I've been checking my heart, I just keep going through. I'm like, Lord, did I get out of place? Did I get out of obedience? And I just have felt this great confidence coming from Him. Even though I didn't feel like that fire, that burning, that nearness that I love to feel when I'm close to him and I know I'm walking with him. I felt this great confidence saying, keep walking with me. Keep walking with me. And I felt James 4 come to my mind. Therefore, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Keep drawing near to the Lord in this season. Even when it feels like he's far or he's distanced himself, it says in his word, draw near to God, and he'll draw near to you. And so what have I been doing? I keep chasing him all this week. I keep trying to draw near. I keep trying to get into his presence. I keep trying to get into his word. And sometimes he's just testing us to see all that is in our heart. What are we? We're a soul, we're a spirit, and a body. That's what God's word says. We are three parts. I used to think soul and spirit were the same thing, and I was always like, why is Scripture doing this? No, no, no. And then the Lord gave me revelation. He said, no, no, the soul is different than the spirit. The spirit is where when you give your life to Jesus, when you declare him Lord over your life, the spirit comes to dwell within you. You invite him in. The Holy Spirit, he will not force his way into your life. But when you invite him in, when you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and invite him in, the Holy Spirit comes to make a dwelling place where? In the land, in the temple. You're the land, you're the temple of the Holy Spirit who lives inside of you. He comes to live within the spirit, your soul, or the heart. Sometimes Scripture will use both, heart, soul. It's where your mind, your emotions, your feelings, that's what's going on there when we hear that word soul. It's your mind, your will, your emotions, your feelings, your personality, the things that make you who you are. Sometimes he draws away from us. But let me tell you something. He's still there. He's still watching over you. But he wants to sanctify your soul. He wants to cleanse your heart so that even when you can't feel him, like sometimes you come into this room on a Sunday and like the moment Pastor Andrew starts leading us in worship, you feel the fire of God fall in this room. I felt it today. I told you I wasn't feeling him this week. I was like, Lord, where are you? It feels like you're far. I came in here and I just start circling this room in prayer as the worship team is warming up today. And Pastor Andrew starts singing, so, 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 so good. Right, I can't sing. I'm not as good as him. Right? But I start circling and I start speeding up because I start to feel the fire of God falling on me. You get into the house of the Lord and you feel zeal overcome. You feel the fire overcome you. And you're like, yes. And then you get out and you get into the real word and you're like, where's the fire? Lord, where are you? Keep seeking him. You can get into a place of praise in your car. You can get into a place of praise in your secret place in the house. You go, you find a place, and you get into that place, and you start praising and worshiping and getting into the word, not to get knowledge of him, but to get a word from him, to get revelation from him. Some of us, we're so consumed with just getting knowledge about God. He wants to speak to us. He wants to speak to you. You're a son. You're a daughter. When you give your life to Jesus, that's your identity. Let him change your identity today. And so I get in here today, and all of a sudden I feel the fire of God falling on me. And I just know, oh my goodness, he's here. Let me tell you something. I think I was in 1 John this week. And in 1 John, it says there that God is greater than your feelings. We put feelings, our heart, our soul, we put feelings as our compass in life. Too many of us are letting feelings guide our lives. And so when you get into this place where the Lord is testing you, like I keep using this word season, right? Everybody's going through seasons. I just believe there's a testing happening. There's a testing season. I saw another pastor say it this way. He said, I used to use the word seasons, but now I use semesters because at the end of the semester, you got to pass the test. Otherwise, you got to take the same class over again, right? Isn't that so good? So, 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 so good. I can't do it. I can't do it. I'm getting better. The more I sing, I think I'm getting a little better. You're laughing too hard at that. Ouch. It's a semester. He's testing you right now. Some of you are like, I keep going through the same thing over and over. Pass the test. pass the test. Even when you don't feel him, remember that God is greater than your feelings. And so what do we say around here? Choices lead, feelings follow. What do we base our choices on? The Word of God. And so you start to get into the Word, and you start to read it, and you start to consume it, you start to eat it, you get it inside of you, even when you don't feel like it. And then all of a sudden, when you get into those moments where you don't feel him, but you know in your mind, in your soul, you know the right decision to make, what's he doing? He's testing you. And so even when you don't feel like he's near, will you remember what his Word says? He's with me. He's watching over me. Before I was born, he saw me in my mother's womb. He formed me, my innermost parts. He's been with you from before you were born. He sees you. And so even when you don't feel like he's near, you know the truth of God's word, and you begin to speak that to the situation that you're in. And even though you kind of feel like following the flesh or following your mind, following your desires, following your feelings, you begin to just speak and declare God's word. I know what God's word says. And I know his word says not to walk along this path. This is the wide road. I know his word says not to walk near temptation. Not to walk, it says in Proverbs, don't even walk near the harlot's house. That man walked near. He knew where he was going. He knew. He was like, I could just go walk by. I'm not going to go say hi to her. I'm not going to do anything. What happens? The harlot comes out, pulls him in. Pulls him into adultery. Why? Because he walked near the house. But he knew. We know, right? Some of us, we got our phones. We got them near us all the time. What are we doing? Nobody's around. I could just get on social media for a second. I could just, yeah, oh, I like you. That's my guy, Keith. I love Keith. He always helps me preach. And you walk near the harlot's house. You pull it out. You're like, I could just scroll through TikTok for a second. And all of a sudden, what? The devil's got a hold of your algorithm, and you got things popping up that you know you shouldn't be looking at, and it's got your mind going places that you know your mind doesn't need to be going. But guess what? If you would have just listened to the Holy Spirit convicting you through the Word of God before you even walked near that path, you wouldn't be in that neighborhood right now. Woo! Walk away from that neighborhood. He's got a different neighborhood for you to walk in. He's got a neighborhood filled with God's people to walk in. Get into community. Get into a small group. Get into a freedom group. Get into something here in the life of the church. We got stuff going on all the time here. If you want to just come hang out in the church, we'll open the doors. Pastor Andrew, his dream, his vision is to have a night of worship going every night of the week in this place. We want this place to be a sanctuary, to be a safe place, to be a place where God's people can come and just spend time with God's people, to spend time with the Holy Spirit, to listen to him, to walk away from the harlot's house and get into the Lord's house. Oof. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hey, we're walking near today. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. Even when you don't feel it, you keep going back again and again and again. How do I draw near? Just open this. Open this. You don't know where to start? Get into Proverbs. I'm guaranteeing you, what do you need in this season? You need wisdom. You need wisdom in this season, because wisdom will guide you even when you can't feel or hear his voice as loudly as you once did. And guess what? Sometimes in those seasons, I don't want you to be discouraged and be like, oh man, I think God forgot about me. God left me. No, sometimes God is testing you because he sees that there is more inside of you that he wants to draw out. He is strengthening you and building you up and sharpening you because you're a weapon against the enemy, and he's preparing you for the next season. Praise Jesus. Praise him. Praise Jesus. Jeez. Thank you, Lord. He's just so good. He's just showing up. He's showing up and meeting people right now. Go to Proverbs. Go to Proverbs 4. I come here a lot. I come here when I'm discouraged. I come here when I'm down. I come here when I don't feel like he's near. Proverbs 4, verse 20. And if you want the notes today, text Rev Notes, all one word, to 94,000. This passage will not be in your notes. But you need to get this one bookmarked, because I come here so often. Some people that have been in this church for a long time, they just got, I mean, their pages are just creased on this page. They just know. They're like, oh, there he goes again. Let's go. Let's go eat of the word. It, It's like steak, right? Like, do you get sick of eating steak? No. Like, there's just passages that are going to hit you and stick with you the rest of your life, and you'll just keep going back to them and drawing water from the well, because his water never runs out. All right? This is one of those passages. I mean, the whole word is. But I'm just telling you, there's some passages, I mean, it's going to stick in your soul and your spirit, and it's going to change and transform you. My son, this is for everyone. My son, give attention to my words. Some of us, we keep giving attention to our phones, giving attention to our kids, giving attention to our lives, giving attention to our idols. Give attention to my words. Incline your ear to my sayings. Incline, lean in. That's what he's saying. Lean in to his sayings. Lean into his word. Some of you are here today. You're leaning in. Some of you are here today and you're like, you're kind of leaning out. You're like, I don't want this. I don't like this. My wife made me be here. My husband made me be here. I don't want. Lean in today. See what he's got for you. When you change your physical posture, your spiritual posture changes. All of a sudden, that's what we talk about all the time. When you do something physically, all of a sudden you receive something spiritually. Some of you are looking around this place and you've never been in a house like this where people raise their hands to worship or people yell or shout or jumping up and down, whatever you might be seeing. And you're like, that's kind of weird. That's kind of different. But what they're doing is they're taking a physical step of obedience to receive from the Lord. And actually, they're receiving more spiritually than you are because they've taken a spiritual step of faith. And so I don't say that to discourage you or like talk down to you, but I'm saying that to encourage you and call you up and say, hey, if you would just lean in physically, if you just put your hands out to receive, if in worship you just begin to put your hands up, even if you just kind of start shy so nobody can see you, just start shy, right? That just you can kind of do this number. Nobody will even notice. There, I just gave you a cheat code. You want to start raising your hands in worship? Start right here. But then all of a sudden you start to realize, like, I think I'm receiving from the Lord. I'm beginning to experience his presence. I'm beginning to hear him. He's going to change your life. If you take a physical step of obedience, he begins to change and shift things inside of you. That's what he wants to do. That's that incline. Incline your ear. I can't tell you how many testimonies of strong, bold, like men, like manly men who, you know, their whole lives have just sat in church like this and they've been stoic and they've been like this and they've done, you know, they've never worshiped, they never sang. I can't tell you how many testimonies in this season I've heard from just men, like just some men, like guys like that have hands that could crush my hand. Like Mark Robinson, right? Like, I love you, man, because you testified to me this semester. You said, I started worshiping. I started singing. I don't remember the last time I did that. Like, I said, praise God. Praise God. Praise God. Because what's happening, you're receiving from the Lord. You're growing. He's growing you. He's changing you. You're taking the posture of a child because you're not too prideful to come in here and say, I got it all figured out. I know everything. You're coming in and you're saying, what are you doing when you raise your hands? You're saying, Father, I need you. You're taking the posture of a child. Some of us, we get to 30, 40, 50, 60, whatever age it is, and pride comes in, right? Pride comes in. And you're like, I'm good. I got it all figured out. I know it all. And all of a sudden, you put your hands up and you're just like, I'm a child in the hands of the living God. I'm not worshiping for man. I'm not worshiping for the approval of man. I don't care if my neighbor thinks I'm weird or if he thinks I'm awesome because I'm doing this. I don't care. I'm worshiping for the Lord. I serve the King. So incline physically. Incline. Incline your ear to my sayings. Do not let them depart from your eyes. Too many of us, we're letting them depart from our eyes in this season, and we're replacing things in front of our eyes that we don't need to see, that we don't need to read, that we don't need to watch. Keep them in the midst of your heart, your soul, for they are life to those who find them. Some of you feel like you're dying right now. You feel like you're in the darkness. Open up God's word and he's going to speak to you today. 1 John chapter 2, verse 15. When I was dying, when I was in the darkness, I opened up my Bible to those words. I was dying and I was in the darkness and I was living in shame. I was living in so many lies as a 17, 18-year-old in high school. And I had so many things that I just was trapped. I thought I was free, and really I was trapped. When you try to quit sin, then you'll realize how free you actually are. You're a slave to sin. You're not actually free. And I remember opening up the word to 1 John, and I said, God, I just need to hear from you. And I didn't know where to turn. I barely knew the Bible. I was a Christian, and I just... You know, I didn't know the Bible. I didn't know passages. I didn't know anything. And I opened up to 1 John chapter 2, verse 15, and all of a sudden he says to me, he gave me a living word, a rhema word. He said, do not love the world or anything in the world. If anyone loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For everything in the world, the cravings of sinful man, the lust of his eyes, the boasting of what he has and does, comes not from the Father, but from the world. And the world and its desires pass away. But the man who does the will of God lives forever. Never forget that. If you needed a word today, go to 1 John 2:15. That's a word for you from the Lord. If you've been living for the world and you know today you're convicted, if I die today, I'm not going to be with the Father. I know I'm not. I've loved the world more than him. Guess what? You're not dead yet. Repent. Confess your sins. He's faithful and just to forgive you your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants to cleanse you today. Let's pray that prayer together, because I just believe there's somebody in here that there's multiple people in here today that just need to pray that. So we're going to pray it out loud. Just follow me. Because when you pray, even though you're coming in here and you're like, I got it all together, it gives somebody else the boldness to say it out loud. Because the power of life and death is in the tongue. Somebody's going to get free today and step into life today. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I confess my sin, and I repent today. I want you to be Lord of my life. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name, amen. Somebody got free. There you go. Somebody got free. Yeah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you. Thank you for your boldness to speak that out loud right now in this moment. To step out of darkness and into the light. Some of you, you've been sick. Some of you, your body's kind of been out of whack. Some of you, there's just stuff going on. Let me tell you something. The Word of God, it is life, it says in Proverbs 4, verse 22, life to those who find them, find the Word, and health to all their flesh. Some of you are suffering because you've been living for the world and not the Word. As you begin to consume God's Word, it is medicine for your soul. It is medicine for your body. It will heal you. John says in 3 John, I pray that you prosper in all things and in your health, just as your soul prospers. How does our soul prosper? Through the word of the Lord. What's it mean to prosper? To advance, to move forward. Okay? We are a church that is advancing and moving forward. We're seeing souls saved, souls being sanctified, and because of that, we're seeing the outworking miracles of God's Word bringing healing to people's flesh, healing to people's bodies. For some people, it's happening in a moment. For some, it's a process, and he's working it out. But I believe because I've seen it. I've seen it happen in a moment, and I've seen the progress of God's Word begin to heal people and bring them out of the darkness physically and into the light in their bodies. He's bringing healing today. Just begin to take hold of that word today. If that's you today, if you're sick, man, cancer, leave in the name of Jesus. I just pray that God's word begins to set you free today as you consume it, as you eat of it. I just believe cancer is losing its hold on people today. Death, mute, leave in the name of Jesus. He's a healer. He's a healer. He still heals today. Pain in your left leg, pain in your left knee. Leave today in the name of Jesus. He wants to bring healing right now. He's doing it. Eat the word. There's healing there. Keep your heart with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. Some of you are like, man, God is doing this to me. God is doing this to me. No, no, no. Out of your heart spring the issues of life. So what's happening right now is a product of what you're consuming into your heart. What are you consuming into your heart? And my relationship is failing. My marriage is failing. My finances are failing. What are you consuming into your heart right now? You wonder why your marriage is failing when all you watch are soap operas and Netflix dramas about divorce and marriages being broken up and adultery or whatever it is. What are you consuming? That's what you're consuming. You wonder why your marriage is starting to crumble and struggle. Well, who are you around? A bunch of people. My wife shared this testimony recently. She worked at a school for a long time. And when she very first started working there, she noticed all these teachers would just get together. And what would they do? They would just dog on their husbands. He's the worst. He's the worst. He's awful. He's awful, right? He does this. And they would just complain and complain and complain and get bitter. She had to separate herself because who you're around, that's who you become. What you're consuming, what you're taking in, all of a sudden that begins to flow out of you. The issues of the heart, it'll flow out of you. And so if that's all you're around, if that's all you're hearing, you need to separate yourself and you just need to be like, hey, I can't be around that conversation. Or, hey, my kids don't need to hear this. I remember one time we were at this family gathering and one of my sister-in-law, she was just speaking really negatively about her dad. And just kind of tearing him down, knocking him down, just like, and my wife and I are there, our kids are there, and my oldest daughter's there, and she's hearing this. And all of a sudden, I just stopped her. I said, hey, we're not going to talk like that. That's not honoring. Was she mad? Probably. Draw a line in the sand. People will get upset. And that's okay. But what you're doing is you're calling them higher. You're not just calling yourself higher. Some people are like, oh, I don't want to put myself above people and think like, oh, I'm better than them. No, no, no. You're drawing a line in the sand and saying, I'm going to stand for what's right in this world. We're going to walk in honor. We're going to speak in honor. We're not going to talk like that around our kids. And we're not going to speak like that really in general because it's not honoring. Because that man, your dad, that's a man that God created. That's a man that God loves. Too often we get around these people and it kind of feels good, right? We just want to cope. Oh, you got all these problems? I got all these problems too. And you start to, it's your trauma bonding. And you're just like, oh man, this is so good. It just feels good. We're just coping. No, no. You're fanning a different kind of flame. You're fanning a different kind of spirit. The Holy Spirit brings, Pastor Stone talked about it, the Holy Spirit brings unity. The spirits of this world want to bring division. They want to tear apart. They want to separate. They come to steal, kill, and destroy. The Holy Spirit comes to build up, to edify, to strengthen. So for some of you today, there might be a line in the sand that you need to draw today. Call people higher in your life. Call them higher. It might be something that you're consuming. It might be the music you're listening to. Oh, does it? I grew up like that all the time. I was like, I can listen to all this. I can listen to this. You know, because we weren't a legalistic church. We had grace, right? And so maybe some of you grew up like that. And so it's like, oh, we can listen to this and we can watch this because we're really spiritually mature. That was me at like 18 years old. Like, idiot. And like here I am at 17, 18, struggling with lust, struggling with sexual relationships, struggling with pornography. And I'm like, looking back now, I'm like, oh, no wonder I was struggling in all those areas. No wonder I was addicted to sexual gratification in my life, because what was I consuming constantly? I was listening to songs that were sexual in nature. I was watching movies and TV that were sexual in nature, and I was so prideful, I just said, oh, that doesn't affect me. I'm saved by grace. That's not a sin. It doesn't say not to watch that in the Bible. I was a legalist. I was saying I wasn't a legalist because I was doing that, but here I was, I'd become a legalist. And it actually was leading to my destruction because this is what I was consuming. And so out of my heart, all these things flowed out. What are you consuming right now? Draw a line in the sand and say, I'm done with TikTok. I'm done with Instagram. I'm done with that movie. I'm done with R-rated movies, PG-13 movies, whatever. Whatever it is, draw a line in the sand. If you know it's causing you to stumble, if you know it's leading you down a darker path, draw that line today in the name of Jesus. But then don't become a legalist and begin to hold that yoke over your brothers or your sisters. That's where the danger comes. If you're convicted today, great. Follow the conviction of the Holy Spirit and be obedient to His voice. And you can call and encourage and testify. That's all I'm doing today. I'm just calling, encouraging, and testifying to people. But I'm not up here saying like, oh man, if you watch a Disney movie, you're going to hell. No, like that's stupid. But if you're watching something that's causing you to sin, that's causing you to temptation, that maybe it's an open door in your life to the devil getting a foothold and pulling you deeper into the darkness, then I want to encourage you today and call you higher and say, listen to the Holy Spirit, because guess what? You're anointed. If you've given your life to Jesus, if you've received the Holy Spirit, you are anointed. The teacher lives inside of you. He'll teach you the way to go. He wants to teach you today. He wants to teach you his ways. He wants to lead you down his path. Somebody could have told me, said, hey, Alex, you don't need to watch that. You don't need to listen to that. You know what I would have done? I've been like, shut up. Get out of here. I'd be like, I don't need you to tell me that. I know everything I need to do. But when the Holy Spirit, when I began to listen to his voice, and it starts simply 4 years ago, I just asked the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, do you want me to watch this? And I clearly heard him say, I used to watch Family Guy every Sunday night after a long day at church. Good way to finish off a Sunday, right? The Lord's Day. I used to watch some Family Guy. That was a hard day. That's how I coped, because I had so much hurt and stuff going inside of me that the Holy Spirit never had, like I'd never let the Holy Spirit deal with and heal me of. And so that was how I coped at the end of the day. And here I am finally one day when I'm first starting to learn to listen to the Holy Spirit's voice, and somebody just told me something simple. Just begin to ask the Holy Spirit simple questions and just see what rises up in you. See what answers he begins to give you, because you don't want to receive from anyone else. He didn't come out and flat out, this is my brother, he didn't come out and flat out tell me that I was prideful. He just knew the Holy Spirit's going to have to teach you, because if I say anything, you're going to be like, shut up. And I would have been. But as I began to listen to the Holy Spirit, and I just began to ask him, I remember that one Sunday night just saying like, Holy Spirit, can I watch this? And he just clearly said, no, it's trash. And it's a doorway to the devil. It's a doorway to the darkness. Because it would just start as just watching a simple cartoon. It would just start as watching just something dumb. But what is it? It's filled with the filth of this world. And it would cause my thoughts to go to dark places. And so, as I began to test the Lord, and I closed that door on that chapter of my life and said, I'm not going to watch this anymore. I'm going to delete it off my DVR. I found myself going to the dark places less and less because I never opened the devil the door in the first place. I kept giving the devil an open door into my life and saying, come on in, come on in. Have your way with me. What are you consuming in this day, in this hour, that you need to shut the door on the devil and say, no more? And the devil right now is whispering to you. He's saying, it's not a sin. It's good music. It's really good. Is it causing your thoughts to go to dark places? Is it causing your thoughts to go to sexual places outside of the covenant of marriage? Is it causing your mind to go to places where you speak profanity, where you get angry quick? As I began to shut the door on all these different things that I've been consuming, I found myself less angry. I found myself less lustful. I found myself, what was going on? I was being filled with the fruit of the Spirit. In these last 4 years, I've discovered I got more love, I got more joy, I got more peace, I got more patience, I got more kindness, I got more gentleness, I got more faithfulness, I got more self-control. Why? Because I shut the door on the devil. Shut the door on the devil today in the name of Jesus. People are getting free today. You're a part of that. I love this church. There's a great fruit. I told the team this morning when we gathered for prayer and we gathered today, I said, this church is fruitful. The devil's going to come in this season and try to lie to you and say, there's no fruit. The devil's a liar. Rebuke him in the name of Jesus and say, no, devil, I see the fruit of this place. I see the fruit of God's house. People who are planted in the house, they're prospering. They'll be strong and flourishing all the days of their lives, producing great fruit for God's kingdom. In the name of Jesus. Praise God. Praise God. Thank you, Lord. Man. Praise God. Keep your heart. Keep your heart. You're the protector, right? The Lord has armed you. He said, you keep it, son. You keep it, daughter. Protect your heart. Guard your heart from the enemy. Guard your heart from the devil. Don't let the devil get a foothold in you. Put away from you a deceitful mouth and put perverse lips far from you. Put perverse lips far from you. What are you speaking? What's coming out of you? It's probably what's going in you. You I can't remember where I heard this. I heard this from this new preacher I like. He's not new. He's been around for a while. He's from out in Georgia, Lionheart Church. And he's just, man, he's a man of God. He just preaches the word so simply and so beautifully. And he's just so passionate, but also he just sticks to the word. That he shared this recently. He said he went to this family gathering. And one of the people there, like whatever, distant cousin or something, came up to him. And he was like, he knew that this guy was a preacher. And he said, hey, like just in front of everybody, just said, hey, just so you know, like I cuss. And I might cuss and I'm probably going to cuss today. You better just be okay with that because I can't help myself. I can't stop. Like I got to do it. I can't do it. And so I know you're a preacher and you probably won't like that. And so he shared, somebody's like, and so he's sharing this story. And this guy just kind of looks at him and everybody's kind of looking to see how he'll react. And he just says, I bet if I handcuffed you to Mike Tyson and told him to punch you every time you said a swear word, I bet you could stop. It might take you one punch, maybe two, but I bet after two, you're going to be done. And the guy just kind of shut up, and he was like, oh, I guess maybe I could stop. Like some of you are here today, and the devil's got you chained up, thinking I can never stop. This is who I am. I'm always going to be this way. I bet if the Lord handcuffed you to Mike Tyson and said, if you keep doing that, he's going to keep punching you, I bet you could stop. I bet you could put your phone down. I bet you could run from it. I bet you could flee from it. I bet you could. The Holy Spirit's going to help you today. He's going to set you free today. Just believe that in the name of Jesus. Come on. Come on. All right. Let's keep going. Put perverse lips far from you. Let your eyes look straight ahead. And your eyelids look right before you. Too many of us, we're getting caught up in coveting in this season. And we're kind of we're sneaking peeks to the left. We're sneaking peeks to the right. We're like, oh, they got something nice. They got something nice. They got that. They got that. Oh, that their wife looks kind of nice. Or that girl looks kind of nice, but she ain't your wife. Amen. Look straight ahead. Your eyelids look right before you. Keep your eye on the path God has you on. Stop looking at somebody else's path. Stop looking at somebody else's life. That's what the devil loves to do. He loves to get you discontent and dissatisfied because you're looking over here, you're looking over there. And you can even do it from a Christian perspective. You can do it and be like, oh, look at that believer. Look at that believer. Look at that church. Look at that church. What are they doing? They got so many good things going on. Look how fruitful they are. You don't know the path that they're on. You don't understand when they sowed their seed compared to when you sowed your seed, seed time and harvest. And you're like, when am I going to get my harvest? Keep taking care of the ground. Keep watering the ground. Keep working the soil that God has planted you on. Some of you, the devil wants to get you uprooted because you're looking at that soil. You're looking over there and he's saying, I called you right here in the name of Jesus. Take care of this soil. Take care of your family. Take care of your wife. Love them. Love them. Love them. Take care of your church. Take care of these people you see around you. Love them. Encourage them. Build them up. Stop looking out there. Stop looking over there and saying, oh, it looks a little better. Work the land. Oh, thank you, Lord. Oof. Let your eyes look straight ahead and your eyelids look right before you. Ponder the path of your feet, and let all your ways be established. Let him establish you. Let him strengthen you. Stop trying to do it out of your own power, your own strength, your own might. He wants to establish you in this season. He is. He's given you a firm foundation in this season. Don't believe the devil when the devil says, oh, he's far from you. He's forgotten you. He doesn't care about you. He doesn't love you. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie. He's establishing you in this season. He's given you a firm foundation. Build on it. Build on it. Come on. Keith, man, I love you, bro. I love that guy, man. Keith found the house about, I don't know, a month ago. And I remember telling Pastor Andrew, he came to the first men's night. I remember me and Pastor Andrew were hanging out after. I said, God sent Keith at just the right time. I love you, brother. I love you. Man. You need a Keith in your life. You need somebody. You do. That's what the church is for. You need somebody that's going to hype you up. You need somebody that's going to be there for you when the devil's trying to get you down. You need somebody that's going to pick you up and say, no, we're not done. We're not done. You're called to it. You're created for it. Let's fight for it together. Fight for it. Fight for it. Come on. This is a church of fighters. We wage good warfare, as it says in Timothy. That's what Paul called Timothy to. Wage good warfare. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. No, our battle's against principalities, spiritual darkness, against the powers behind the scenes, the enemy, the devil. Our battle's not against flesh and blood. We fight with weapons that are not of this world. We take thoughts captive and we make them obedient to Christ. You take the thoughts of the devil today that he's been throwing at you and you make them obedient to Christ today and say, no, 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 I'm victorious in Christ. I'm not losing. I'm winning in Christ. I am seated in heavenly places in Christ Jesus our Lord. Don't believe the lie of the devil that he's above you. He's beneath your feet. Come on. I feel the Holy Spirit coming on this place. There's healing in this room today. There's healing and there's power in this room today. Don't leave this place without receiving the baptism of the Holy Spirit, without receiving fresh fire today. He's dropping fire on some of you today. Receive it and say, yes, Jesus, yes. Come on. Woo. Ponder the path of your feet and let all your ways be established. Do not turn to the right or the left. Remove your foot from evil. Some of you, you've been letting your foot kind of hang out in the devil's territory, in the devil's neighborhood. You've been like, oh, just a little bit. It's just a foot. That's all the devil needs, a foothold. Because what's he do? He takes a foothold and he builds a stronghold. We're tearing down strongholds in this church. There's lies of the enemy that he's built up inside of you, and you've said, it can never be this way. It can never be good. My life's always going to be this way. It's always going to be a wreck. Something is always going to happen. No, 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 no. We're tearing down strongholds in the name of Jesus because we walk in victory in this house. There's healing. He wants to advance you. He wants to prosper you because the kingdom of heaven is forcefully advancing on the gates of hell. We're taking back territory. We're taking back land. We're taking back land in this church. Every time a new person steps into this building, what are we doing? We're taking back land from the devil. You're the land. He's bringing you back from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light. From the kingdom of the world to the kingdom of the word, we're advancing and taking land. Some of you, you're like, well, we don't even own any land yet. We're going to own physical land. We're going to have properties. God's going to advance us. He's going to prosper us. He's going to give us more tools to use for the kingdom to take real land, to bring back God's people. That's going to get you. Some of us, it's going to, some of you, you got that already. Some of you, that revelation is going to hit you in a second. You're like, oh, we're taking back the land. We're winning and advancing and taking back people. From the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of light in the name of Jesus Christ. He's good. All the time, God is good. Can we, Pastor Andrew, can we close with that? Like, can we just go hard after that? I know you had something else planned. I don't even know what it was, but I just feel like this is a day of victory. This is a day of celebration. I mean, you can do both, whatever you want, but I feel like we need to say it again and again and again. God is good. All the time. Oh, we're getting it. We're getting it, church. That's good. My goodness. Pastor Andrew gave me a lot of time today. Like, I don't know. I mean, we sang some worship, but I'm like, I got so much time. I'm like, let's just keep going. Let's just keep going. Give me 8 more minutes, all right, PA? Hey, I love you, man. Like, the way you led this morning, nobody's in the room, but the way you led this morning led me into a moment with the Lord. Thank you for leading. Thank you for leading. Jeez. Gosh. I didn't know I was going to get wrecked. I love him. He's been, man, I tell you, I talked about people being by you in every season. He's been by me in every season. He's been by me in every season. I love that man. He's so good. You got to find somebody. That's what the church is for. You got to find somebody like that. You got to find somebody like that that's going to run with you in every season. So every time there's a test, you got somebody, when you feel like you failed the test, when you feel like you fell short, you got somebody that's going to be there and be like, no, we're going to keep going. We're going to keep marching on the gates of hell. There's more land to win. There's more hearts to win for the Lord. We ain't done. Jeez. We're going to do this till we die or till Jesus comes back. Mark 9. Once I get right here. Mark 9:38. Now John answered him, saying, Teacher, we saw someone who does not follow us casting out demons in your name. And we forbade him because he does not follow us. But Jesus said, the disciples are so funny sometimes. Like John, Peter, all these guys. And sometimes we're like, oh man, I wouldn't have done that. We would have done that. We still do that, all right? But Jesus said, do not forbid him. Like I imagine Jesus just kind of being like, do not forbid him. John, what are you doing, man? For no one who works a miracle in my name can soon afterwards speak evil of me. For he who is not against us, he who is not against us is on our side. They're on our side, John. Come on, man. We're talking about unity. Pastor Stone, he talked about it today. Like sometimes we get so caught up like, oh, this church or this church or this teacher or this teacher. Oh, they're not doing it the way I would do it. Their methods are different, or they look a little different. And what's going on? The devil's trying to sow division and get us caught up in some things and looking and comparing because our eyes are not on the path that God has called us to, and he's got us looking over there at some of that path or that path. Well, that church does it that way, and they do it that way. Well, they're doing it wrong. They must not be with us. They must be against us. And I think so many times Jesus is saying, John, James, Mike, Alex, Andrew, if they're not against us, they're for us. They're doing it in the name of Jesus. They're doing it in my name. Don't be against them. Be for them. I sense that in this season. I've done it. I repent right now in the name of Jesus. I repent right now for any time if I've caused our church to look around and be like, oh, we're better than them. Or we're better than them. We do it better. It's like God called us to do it different. And sometimes we're too busy looking at these other churches and we're thinking, oh, we're better, and they're false teachers. Pastor Steph and I, we got to sit in. They invited us to a small group, the Venegases, Lucas and Taylor. They invited us to their small group on Friday night. And they said, oh, we're having a Friendsgiving. And they invited us to this Friendsgiving. We thought, oh, it's just like a potluck. It's like friends hanging out. And we get there and we're eating. We're having a good time. And then all of a sudden, Lucas and Taylor are like, all right, Bible study time. And we're like, oh, shoot, we didn't bring our Bibles. We're the pastors. I'm always saying, bring your Bible everywhere. I repent. I'm sorry, Lord. And so we go and we sit down in this Bible study. And Lucas opens up to 1 John. And I got to tell you this, because we started with John, right? We started with John being like, oh, They're not with us. They must be against us. And Jesus is like, they're not against us. It's in the name of Jesus. They're with us. Look at John, his words later on. 1 John 4, verse 1. Beloved, do not believe every spirit, but test the spirits, whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into the world. By this you know the Spirit of God. Every spirit that confesses Jesus Christ has come in the flesh of God. And every spirit that does not confess that Jesus Christ has come in the flesh is not of God. And this is the spirit of the Antichrist, which you have heard was coming and is now already in the world. There's so many people calling out false prophet, false teacher. And let me tell you something. John says it is so simple, but we've made it so complicated. And we're saying, well, they dress different. Or they have female pastors, or they don't have female pastors, or they do this, they wear head coverings, they don't wear head coverings. Do they confess that Jesus Christ is the Son of God and that he came in the flesh? Then let's stop getting caught up in our own flesh. We're so busy casting out the church, casting out the saints. Even Jesus told us when he was accused of being the devil when he was delivering people, when he was casting out demons from people? What did he say? He said, Satan doesn't cast out Satan. Satan doesn't fight against his own kingdom. But he's got us fighting against our own kingdom, our own brothers, our own sisters. That's a revelation today. Stop worrying about what's going on somebody else's path. Do they confess that Jesus is Lord? Stop trying to call people out. Oh, they're a false teacher. That's a false teaching. Do they confess that Jesus is Lord, that he came in the flesh? And stop getting caught up in the methods or the worship style or they do this or they do that. No, no, no. It's all about Jesus. That's Lucas just laid that out. And he just so simply said this during this Bible study that we got tricked into coming to, and we thought it was just a Friendsgiving. But praise God, because he laid out this beautiful revelation, and he just said it so simply. He said it himself. He said, I would get so caught up in some of these other pastors, like, oh, this guy or this guy, they're a false teacher. If they haven't, and he just said it. I confess, like this guy, I've been thinking he's a false teacher. I read this and I realized, does he confess that Jesus is Lord? His methods might look different than mine for how he's reaching people with the gospel. And it might look a little different, his preferences or whatever that they feel called to at that church. But does he confess Jesus is Lord? It is that simple. And does he believe that Christ Jesus came in the flesh? And he laid that out so simple and so beautiful. And I just was sitting there and I'm like, that's it. That's it. It's beautiful. The church has to stop casting out the church. The church has to stop eating itself alive. Praise God for every church in this city. Praise God for how he is moving and working in every different church. Lord, I just pray for more unity. In this season, Lord, we just pray for unity, the unity of your body, that we would fight for it, that we'd contend for it. Thank you for this body and how you're teaching us how to fight, how to contend, how to walk with you, how to listen to you. You are of God, little children. Don't forget that. You, if you've confessed Jesus as Lord, you are of God. You are of God, little children, and have overcome them because he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. Do not forget that. The devil's convinced you that his ways are greater, his ways are better, that he's got more power, that he's got more strength. No, no, no. He who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. And the world hears them. We are of God. He who knows God hears us. He who is not of God does not hear us. By this we know the spirit of truth and the spirit of error. Test him and see in this season that he is good, he is worthy. God is good. Oh, yeah, one person got that. God is good. All the time. I don't know who passed that test, but praise God, you got an A today. You get to move on to the next semester. You're moving on. You passed the class today. Church, I love this church. When we praise, the weapons of the enemy fall flat. Every voice, every lie, every stronghold, it's broken in the name of Jesus today. By his blood, we are healed. Would you stand up, warriors? Would you stand up, men and women of God? Let's wage some good warfare today in the name of Jesus. If you need prayer today, hey, the altar's open. Ministry team, come up here and receive people. If you need prayer today, don't miss this moment to take a physical step of obedience and say yes to King Jesus today. Let's praise him. Give him your all. Give him your all. Don't hold back. Come on.